accession number 4296, reel number 2.
Mrs. Vishkovsky, tape 2. Can you remember what the attitude of the villagers in Burwash Weald was towards you?
I had absolutely no contact with the villagers whatsoever. The only contacts I had were Mr. and Mrs. Herring, my master and mistress. And there was a farmhand, a very primitive Irishman. I don't know whether he was Irishman. Anyway, I couldn't speak English, and his English even less. So I'm afraid I don't know.
And did they pay you wages?
Oh, yes, but very, 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 very little wages. I think I got £1 a week.
Were you allowed to bring any money out of Germany when you left?
No, none whatsoever. This was one of the difficulties. I wanted to get my children out of Germany, and there was no more possibility of getting money out of Germany. My mother would have been only too happy to pay for their education abroad, but there was no possibility.
Were you receiving news of your family in Germany?
Oh, yes, I was. There was no difficulty in writing in those days. That was, after all, long before the war.
And how long were you in Burwash?
Just under a year. I arrived on the 26th of June, 1936. And I left, well, I don't know the exact date, but it must have been just short of a year.
Were you able to bring your children over for holidays at all?
Yes, the Herrings were kind enough to invite my girls. The eldest couldn't come because she had some exams at school. But my younger daughter, who was practically the same age as their little girl, came over. And it was absolutely adorable, these two little girls, completely different, one only speaking English, the other only German, and they jabbered away from morning to night, and they seemed to understand each other perfectly. That was very delightful. My little daughter was there for about 6 weeks. She was put on a plane in Berlin, and there was a stop in Amsterdam, where they fed her with cakes and fruit and what have you, and she arrived at Croydon and Mr. Herring took me to Croydon in his car to collect her, and we had a breakdown on the way and arrived 2 hours too late, and there she was standing at the hand of the Dutch steward and wasn't in the least afraid. "I knew you were coming," she said. Was really marvelous.
And why did you leave Burwash in the end?
Well, somehow we didn't agree. We didn't seem to agree in the end. Although, to begin with, they were very, very kind. Also, I didn't learn to speak English there, and I found it, I had no possibility of getting anything done about the children. I could go to London occasionally over the weekend, which was no good for the Woburn House, which was by then the refugee organization, the Jewish, also the Quakers were sitting in Woburn House, I think. And I had no means of going there and doing anything about the children.
What actually decided you in the end to leave?
I can't say that there was any specific decision. It just happened.
Did you have a job to go to?
No, I didn't. But I went to Woburn House
in
London. Asked for... Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I had a job to go to. A friend of mine, also a member of that political group, I call them my family, got a job as a domestic servant also somewhere in Cricklewood. And I think the sister-in-law of her lady was looking for somebody, so she fixed it up for me. That's right. And so I had that job as a domestic. It was the only possible job one could take. The Home Office wouldn't allow one to do anything else in those days.
And how long did you stay in that particular job?
There I didn't stay very long. That was an absolutely awful job. Well, in a way it was very interesting, because this was a really Jewish Orthodox family. And I was there, that's right, before Easter. And this was the first time I came across a proper Jewish Orthodox Pesach, the Passover, which is, the preparations are a very, very complicated spring cleaning. Everything has to be exchanged that has ever been in contact with bread and so on, and it's terrible. Now, I wouldn't have minded if these people had been really pious Jews, but it was entirely a matter of form for them. And I had the impression they had the impression that God didn't mind if they were not good and decent and charitable, but God minded terribly if the wrong cup was being used. You know, that type of... I was very unhappy there, very unhappy.
So how did you get out of that situation?
Well, I managed to get another job through friends. And that was a very funny job. This was a German woman who was, I would say, an adventuress. She came from a very good German family. She had a very good education. She had been married, I don't know whether she was divorced or just separated, from a man who had become a Nazi. And whatever I may say against her, she was not a Nazi. She was later also interned. But she was an adventuress. She was studying at the London School of Economics. She had no money, but she managed somehow to rent a house in Chelsea, beautiful house, which she furnished with the most beautiful antiques. But I slept on a camp bed, and instead of sheets, I had tablecloth for 48 persons. You know, that type of thing. And it was very difficult. I was... supposed to do the whole household. I never had enough money for it. She gave parties on the one hand, and well, it was a bohemian existence which doesn't agree with me, and I don't think in the end I agreed with her. But I learned to speak English there, because she spoke fluent English, and she was living together with a journalist, and they spoke English all the time, so I did learn English. I also had the opportunity of going to evening classes where I learned shorthand. I thought it might possibly be easier to get a job as a secretary than a job as an engineer. So I learned shorthand. Now, I knew a German system of shorthand, and the teacher let me practice that in English. And she enunciated very clearly and slowly. So that's where I picked up really what I know in the way of English, and what lack of accent or accent I have, I got from this woman in this evening class. And also, I was put up as a model for spelling to all the other little girls. That was the only thing I had picked up from my 6 years at school. I could spell English.
Did you try to get a job in engineering at all?
Oh, yes. Mm. And not at that time. I had no connections. My husband was in England by that time. I mean, my late husband, as it were.
What date did he come over?
He came very shortly after me. After all, he had belonged to the same political group. He and the leader of the group and some other friends who had established some connections with English business people. After all, my husband had been in business, and the firm for whom he had worked in Germany was in fact derived from an American firm. So he had business connections and the savoir faire of a businessman. So they had started a business, and I was hoping that one day I might be able to work there. But I wouldn't have minded, but first of all, before I could speak English fluently, there was no point. So this helped me tremendously.
And did you go to work for him? Did you?
Oh, not much later. Much later. Eventually I did, yes.
But what date would that have been?
It was January 39, I think. Yes, January 39.
And had you managed in the meantime to get your children out?
Now, this is a romantic story. Whilst I was at this with this woman in Chelsea, I had told her about my desire to get my children out, and she had mentioned that to some of her colleagues at the Land School of Economics. And one of these said, why doesn't this woman contact the Honorable Mrs. Franklin, who is in charge of all English girls' schools, and who might help her? Well, she told me that. So I wrote to the Honorable Mrs. Franklin a long letter and included a curriculum vitae. And the Honorable Mrs. Franklin replied to me and said she couldn't help me. She wasn't in charge of English girls' schools. There is no such thing. But she had a niece who might be able to help me, and she had passed my curriculum vitae on to this lady. This was a Mrs. Franklin Cohn in Bournemouth. She also passed on my curriculum vitae to Mrs. Ray Strachey of the Women's Employment Federation. I don't know whether you know about her. She's a very well-known feminist, or was a very well-known feminist. And, well, there are the two things. First of all, Mrs. Franklin Cohn wrote to me and suggested that my children might be accepted at the Convent of Our Lady of Zion, which is a Catholic convent, a teaching convent, founded originally by a converted Jew. And therefore, they might be quite prepared to accept these semi-Jewish children. I went to see the Mother Superior, who was an absolute charming old lady, Mother Joanna. She was a French woman, spoke with this very strong French accent, and she was absolutely charming, and said yes, she would accept the children, provided we can get the uniforms. Now, this was a difficult thing because, of course, I had no money. And there were certain things which my mother could provide in Germany, but the tunics had to be from white lace, and the whole thing came to about £10. Now, I earned, by that time I had a rise, earned 25 shillings a week, of course all found, of which I gave 15 shillings to my husband, who lived on borrowed money, with, built up his firm on borrowed money. Anyway, we were a bit in a cleft stick, but again, Mrs. Franklin Cohn was very good, and found a woman whose name I've forgotten. I may be able to unearth it somewhere amongst my papers, who was going to supply £3, and I somehow managed to scrape together £3, and my husband scraped together a bit more. Anyway, we managed to get these uniforms, and in May 38, my children came over. My mother brought them over. That was the last time I saw my mother. And my mother and Mother Joanna got on like a house on fire. They were just the same type, very great ladies both. And so that was how my children came over. And the other thing was that Mrs. Strachey gave my curriculum vitae to Miss Caroline Haslett of the Women's Engineering Society. And I was asked to call there, and I was interviewed by named Caroline Haslett, and they were absolutely gorgeous and invited me, and I couldn't become a member because I was still a domestic servant. But they invited me to all their meetings, and that was like a poor soul in hell who is allowed an afternoon in heaven.
Yes,
it was absolutely wonderful to be there amongst women engineers and be lectured on some engineering topic. By then my English was sufficient to be able to follow, and Caroline Haslett, later Dame Caroline, was very, very kind, and her chief accountant, Miss Ada Lockhart, was an absolute poppet and was terribly good to me. Mm-hmm. Altogether, I mean, this was a wonderful. And that's how we started my connections with the Women's Engineering Society. And I'm not quite sure, but I believe when I eventually asked the Home Office for a permit to work as an engineer, when my husband's firm was able to employ me, I think that Dame Caroline pulled some strings. I mean, I couldn't say that positively because these things are done very discreetly, if at all, but suddenly I got my permit.
Did you come into contact with any British officials during this period?
Well, I had to... every time I changed my address, I had, of course, to report. Now, to whom did I have to report? I think it was the police. And one day I forgot to do that. I had changed job, and I was staying with a friend, and I thought this was only very, very temporary, and I would save myself, and they were very, very cross with me. And I think I had to carry some sort of a pass. I'm not quite sure, but I believe so, and I think they endorsed it, but I don't really remember that very clearly. Whether it was the police, I suppose so, but it was certainly not a uniformed policeman.
So you had quite a few English friends by the sound of it by this time, with your engineering contacts?
Well, yes, mainly the Women's Engineering Society. Otherwise, no, because... well, it is a very lonely life.
Yes, I was wondering what the public attitude to you was.
I don't think I would have noticed much. Of course, I did all the shopping. I was on very good terms with all the shopkeepers. We had a charwoman whom I got Susie Derry. There again, I mean, I was on very good terms with the young man who delivered the milk, and I found later that it was his mother, which he wouldn't admit. So, I mean, in that respect, I never found any difficulties. They were very, very kind.
Can you remember how you felt when war broke out in 1939?
It was very mixed feeling. In one way, one is, of course, always appalled at a thing like this. On the other hand, politically, we were aware that it was only through a lost war that Hitler could be defeated in Germany, that it was not possible to overthrow Hitler from the inside. So it was with mixed feelings.
Did you have to go before a tribunal at this time?
Later on, during the winter, we all had to go to these tribunals. And I lived at that time in Camden Town. Now, these tribunals were a very funny thing. We were supposed to be classified in three categories, A, B, C. A were imprisoned straight away. There were people who were considered as enemy aliens. Well, we were all considered as enemy aliens, but they were considered as so suspicious that they had to be made secure. B were people who were not quite without suspicion, above suspicion, and had fairly severe restrictions, traveling restrictions, and domiciliary restrictions, had to report to the police at every move. And C were people who were exempt from some of these restrictions. As it is typical for England, the judges who were presiding over these tribunals were not given any guidelines. Every single one of them used his own judgment into which category to place the enemy alien in front of him. And some very, very funny things did happen.
Could you describe your own experience, your own tribunal?
My own tribunal, where it took place, somewhere in Camden Town, and I had to wait for a very long time in a completely unheated room. So by the time I got into the actual tribunal room, I was frozen stiff and could barely talk, and I don't think I was in a very fit state. I certainly wasn't at my best. There was a judge, I've forgotten his name, and I think there were two people sitting with him to assess us, presumably from Scotland Yard, I don't know. You had been advised to bring letters of recommendation from friends or anyway people to witness to your character and your suitability and safety and the first question I was asked by the judge was, you have been working with your divorced husband in the same office. Don't you think that's odd? I was very much taken aback by this, because in Germany, being divorced does not mean that one is at daggers drawn. And I was not sufficiently aware of social conditions in England to have noticed that it's different in England. But apparently at that time it was, and it was an absolute heinous crime and could only be explained by the fact that one must be a communist. And that was very suspicious. I didn't mention anything about my political past because I did not want, I was absolutely sure that it would have been misunderstood as being communist. And although we were fighting National Socialism, anti-communism in this country was very strong indeed. So I don't really recall what questions I was being asked. I had letters of recommendation from a friend from the Women's Engineering Society, who by that time held a fairly important post in the Ministry of Labor. I had a letter of recommendation from the trade union official of the trade union to whom I belonged. I had one letter from the Mother Superior of the convent where my children were. I don't know what other letters I had, not many, because I didn't really know many people. Anyway, at that time I was already working as an engineer in the firm in which my husband, which had been established by my husband and his friends. The judge asked me whether in the course of my professional duties I had to use firearms. Of course I laughed and said, no, of course not. So in the end he gave me category C, but made a special note, must not carry firearms. And this was later interpreted by the Home Office as a restriction on this category C, and that had the result that I was interned later on.